So last week, folks, we began a brand new series called We Are MACC, and what we're going to do is just talk about who we are as a church over the next 4 weeks. And what we started with was breaking down our vision, our purpose statement, and last week we started with the connect, and we said that when we say the word connect, it's more than just connect, but when we say connect, what we're saying is that we want to honor Jesus by creating a lifestyle, by helping others create a lifestyle of worshiping God both individually and corporately. We talked about that, about how we worship as individuals, as privately, so that we can come together to worship publicly. And so we spent a good deal of time talking about that. I did fail to mention last week that we expect every age of person that attends Maple Avenue to participate in our Connect. That's why we have Kids Connection. That's for birth through sixth grade or fifth grade. And then we have our student ministries, they call it Altered Youth, and that's for our sixth graders up to high school students, and then once you're an adult, you're stuck with us, and so we expect everybody to be in some form of connect and worshiping each and every week, so we want to encourage you to make sure that that's happening. Today, we're going to look at a wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture found again in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. We're going to read those. We're going to work through those this morning. So if you want to go ahead and make your way over there, that'd be absolutely wonderful, and we'll get to that in just a second. But today, we're going to look at the second aspect of our vision, which is grow. And again, as a leadership, we've worked through a layered vision so that when you hear the word grow, there are other things that come about with that. It's not just grow. Oh, okay, well, grow. What's that mean? That can mean any number of things. But what we've come with as a leadership, when we say grow, what we're saying is we want to honor Jesus by intentionally developing disciples who are biblically informed, who are spiritually transformed, and who are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So when you hear the word grow, this is what we're talking about. It's about our biblical knowledge. But we can't stop with just biblical knowledge. I mean, you can read any book and gain all kinds of knowledge. So what sets being a disciple apart from any other thing? Well, we want biblical knowledge that is spiritually transforming people. People can go through all kinds of self-help stuff, but we're not talking about self-help. We're talking about spiritual transformation. This is where the Holy Spirit of God takes over your life, and you no longer live for yourself. The Apostle Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a transformation that takes place when the Holy Spirit of God is able to come into your life and lead you. And then there's the empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is the same kind of idea that Jesus promised the disciples back in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We said, power is going to come upon you. That's a dunamis power. The Greek word for power in the New Testament is dunamis. It's dynamite. That's how we might translate. That's the kind of power that we have when the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. And these are the kinds of disciples as a leadership we want to produce. We want to help you grow to be. So when we say that word grow, there's a lot to it. You have to unpack a lot of things. As a matter of fact, we have biblical core values that kind of steer us as a leadership. And one of our biblical core values is this, is that we are challenged to grow in Christ. That's a biblical core value. That keeps us focused on what we are to do. And so each week as a church, we come back to that question, how are we challenged to grow in Christ? And so as a church, we provide an intentional opportunity for you to continue to grow in Christ. I want to just share a few of them with you. One is we offer educational hour each week on Sunday mornings to encourage each and every one of you to continue in your relationship, to continue to gain knowledge and understanding who Jesus is and this word that was written, what it's all about. We've purchased the Right Now Media stuff. And we did that so that in your own home, you could continue to grow. There are 2,000-plus video curriculum on that that you can use to grow in your relationship with Christ. These are intentional things that we've done as a leadership. We don't just do this to do it. There's a reason behind doing these. On Wednesday mornings at 9 o'clock, Sharon Wren, who's running the video this morning, she leads in a women's Bible study called Precepts. Now, this is an in-depth women's Bible study, very in-depth. And if you want to grow in your relationship, if you can make that at all, I'd encourage you to come and be a part of that. I've not heard anybody really ever disappointed with the quality of education that goes on in there. And Sharon does a great job, and we're honored that we get to host that. And it's opened up to our entire community. We have folks from all over that come to that. So we want to encourage you to take part of that if you can. I'm prayerfully considering leading a men's group. I don't have all the details worked out yet, but in the near future, that's something that God's just really been laying on my heart since March of last year, and I just don't know exactly how it all looks. So I want to invite you and please encourage you to pray about that decision, what that's going to look like. Now, I know a lot of people have a lot of ideas about what men's ministry ought to look like and how it should be. I appreciate that. I'm trying to prayerfully consider what God wants us to do here and what makes it different or why have it. So those are some of the things. So if you would just pray over those, I'd greatly appreciate it. Now, some of you may be saying growing in Christ. Well, that doesn't equate to just going to an educational hour, you know. And I would say, yeah, you're right. It doesn't. But I believe it helps. That's why we provide those. Others of you may be saying, well, all I need to know is that Jesus loves me. And I'd say, yeah, you do need to know that. But what's going to happen to your faith when the storms of life come pounding on your shores? And you need to know that God is there and He is faithful when it seems like everything in the world is just crumbling down around you. When it seems like people aren't doing what you think people ought to be doing to minister to you. When it feels like you're abandoned and alone. When it feels like your spouse has turned their back on you. When it feels like your children have walked away from your faith. What is it going to be? I mean, you've got to know. And this is why we encourage people to grow in their relationship, to grow in their faith in Jesus Christ. We've got to be prepared in season and out of season. For all things. I've got a question. I was thinking about this and I thought, well, you know, most of us in here have a job or we work or something or we have worked at some point. You know, don't raise your hands, but just think about this. How many of us go to some form of continuing education, or if we did work, how many of us went to some form of continuing education for our occupation, for the jobs that we do? We continue to go, we continue to learn. Why? Hopefully the company that employs us wants us to get better, to know more, to grow in our skill sets. How many of you in this room, again, don't raise your hands, how many of you think you have all the knowledge you need in your relationship with Jesus Christ? And there's nobody in this church that can teach you anything. I don't know of anyone that necessarily says that, but by some of our actions, maybe that's what we're saying implicitly. You know, we just downplay the idea of the need for education. Why would we not want to continue in our pursuit of knowledge of who Jesus Christ is? We're willing to continue in our pursuit of knowledge for our jobs, but what about for our Savior? What about for Jesus? The one who died for us, that gives us eternal life. Romans chapter 12, that's a pretty important passage. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's something that all of us need to continue to do as we go through life, growing in Christ. I want to share with you this morning why grow is so important to us as a church. I've asked you, if you would, to turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. I just want to read that and then just share some things with you this morning. Colossians 2, 6 says, "So then, just as you received Christ," now you'll want to circle that word "received," because that's a very important word. We're going to talk about it in just a little bit. "Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue," and that's a word that we're going to focus on a lot today. So if you want to highlight that word, I would encourage you to highlight that word. Continue. That's the word. Continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Verse 9 says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been," listen, here's your promise. I don't want you to miss this, all right? "And you have been given fullness in Christ." What a promise. If you understand what it's saying, it's a great promise. What an encouraging word that is. That all the fullness has been given to us in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. What a great promise we have. When I was reading this, though, I thought, okay, now what's this passage talking about? What's the thing we need to focus on in this passage? And here's what we need to focus on. Christians, okay, this is who I'm talking to. Christians. We are commanded to continue to grow in Jesus. So that very first line, if you want to fill it in, we are commanded to continue to grow in Jesus. Now, you may be saying, Case, commanded sounds like a pretty harsh word. Well, the reason I say we're commanded, and not that it's suggested, or not that we're encouraged, is because if you look in verse 6, there's that word continue. I told you that's going to be the focus of what we talk about today. That word continue in the Greek language is the word peripatao, or peripateo. And it means to go. It means to walk. It means to tread. Well, okay, well, that's kind of what I thought continue meant. Right, but when you look at the ending of this word, and this is why this is so important for us to understand, this word continue doesn't mean just keep going about it at your own leisurely pace if you want to. It's not a suggestion. This is an imperative verb, okay? The only reason you know that is when you look at the ending of it in the Greek language, it's an imperative, and it gives an order. It's a command. And so, we are given an order. We're given a command to continue, to grow, to live in Jesus Christ. And this is precisely what the Apostle Paul is doing in the text with the Colossians. Paul is saying, don't give up on your faith because of persecution. Continue in it. He's saying, don't give up because I'm suffering. Continue in it. Or don't give up because of false teaching that's all around you. Continue in it. Don't let your faith be temporary. It's not temporary. So don't be cowardly with your faith in this person's presence or company or this person's presence. Don't let it be temporary because of threats that come at you. Don't buckle under the peer pressure, but press on. Keep on going. It's like last week, my boys and I, we needed a little testosterone fix in our house. And so what we did is we started watching the World's Strongest Man competition. I tried to convince them that I was once a champion, but they didn't buy it. But anyway, we're watching this, and one of the events that they have in this competition is the bus pull. And these big hulking guys, they get up there, and they have this harness on them, and they have a 54-ton bus strapped to their back. And they get down, and they grunt, and they have this rope in front of them, and they use this rope to start helping them pull. And they get that bus going. Now, the hardest part is to get that bus moving. It's at an incline. But once they get the bus moving, they can continue to press on, and they can continue to keep that bus going. If they stop, they can't get it started again. Why? Because they have to exert so much energy to get started. But once they get started, they continue to keep pressing on. And that's exactly what it's like in our relationship with Jesus. Once we have begun a relationship with Him, Paul says, continue in it. Keep pressing on. No matter how good we may be, nothing's going to work if we're not living in Jesus. Until we accept Him, we can't grow in Christ. And that's important for us to understand, that we cannot continue, as Paul tells us, to grow until we first and foremost accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. I can't do that for anyone in here. No one else can do that for me. This is personal. You, as an individual, have to accept Christ first and foremost before you can continue to grow in Him. This means that we have to come to a point in our lives that we acknowledge and we admit that we need saving. We need saving from the life that we're living. And it doesn't matter all the things in life that we've accomplished or done for others. None of that stuff's going to save us. It doesn't matter the number of times we go to church. None of that stuff saves us. We must be surrendered to Jesus before we can ever grow in Him. So let's talk this morning real quick about how we start a relationship with Jesus, then how we grow in the process, according to Colossians 2, 6 through 10. And the first thing is that our growth begins with a personal encounter with Jesus in verse 6. There again, that word received, I ask you to circle that. In verse 6, that word received is used. And this is a very interesting word. In the Greek language, the word received means to take to oneself, means to take over. So this passage could literally be translated this way. So then, just as you have allowed Jesus Christ to take over your life as Lord, continue in Him. Which is the important thing here, because we cannot grow in Jesus till we first have a relationship with Jesus. And this is personal. This is done when we realize on a personal level that we need salvation from the sin in our life, and we receive salvation in Christ alone. You see, growth begins with grace. And it's a God-initiated love relationship with us through Jesus and His work on the cross, that we experience the grace of God. And then and only then can we begin to grow in Him. When Paul says, receive Christ, do you think that maybe Paul was reflecting on his personal encounter with Jesus? You see, Paul met the person of God in Jesus Christ in the book of Acts chapter 9, when he first before he was a Christian, before he'd given his life to Jesus. He was headed to Damascus to continue to persecute the Christians. Paul is a man that knows that you really cannot understand much of anything else without a knowledge of God. The atheist, they claim that there is no God for us to know. The agnostic states that they've investigated to exhaustion and there's no way to know God in order to have salvation in Jesus Christ. But the apostle Paul knew differently. And he explained the love of God to the people of Colossae because he had experienced the love of God. And folks, when you and I have experienced the love of God, the thing we want to share with people and explain to them is the love of God. Can you imagine Paul sitting there talking to the people of Colossae? I'm sure that he shared with them at some point, discussed with them, John 3:16. Now, John 3:16 wasn't written yet, but that's okay. He understood John 3:16, for it was penned. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, will not die for all eternity, but will have eternal life. Explaining that God's love is so great for mankind that He was willing to provide the only sacrifice that would make us right with God. And that was through Jesus Christ, His Son. But we must receive Christ and accept Him as Lord. We must allow Christ to take over our lives. And herein lies the problem for many, many people. You see, a lot of us, we can handle going to church a couple of times a month. We can even handle maybe going to an educational class. Maybe even jumping into a life group. Maybe even serving on a ministry team. But our hang-up is relinquishing control of our life over to Jesus, where we completely surrender to Him. But folks, the reality is we cannot save ourselves. We have to die to self, give it all over to Christ. You see, Jesus came to earth to save all of mankind. Listen to how John says it in John 3:17. He says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." God doesn't delight in the death of any man, even the most vile of men. No, God desires that all mankind be saved. But the only way anyone can be saved is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And my hope and prayer is that you have a personal relationship with Christ today, right now. That means that we accept the work he did on the cross. And when we accept that, that takes away the sin in our lives. It takes away the sin of this world. The instrumental means of salvation is the finished work of Jesus on the cross. But people who reject this truth are already condemned under God's judgment. But there's hope. There is hope. If you turn, that's repent. If you turn and you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then you can experience salvation. How do I receive Jesus? Faith. It's faith. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as the Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up, strengthened in the faith you were taught. It's our faith that his work on the cross saves us. It's his faithfulness to do the work that needed to be done that saves us. So the Christian's life continues as it starts, with faith in Jesus. And this is personal. Next, as we continue to grow in Jesus, our faith, it progresses. Our faith progresses. Now, I didn't say that we have to be progressive. I'm not promoting progressive Christianity or a progressive church. Some of you know what that is. That's not at all what I'm promoting. I'm saying that our faith progresses. That means it continues to grow. It progresses as we live. We make progress in our faith. We are to walk in Christ the same way we originally received Christ by faith. Now, the Gnostic teachers in Paul's day wanted to introduce some new truths for Christian maturity, but Paul denounced them. He said, you started with Christ, you got to continue with Christ. Paul wrote, you started with faith, you must continue with faith. This is the only way to make spiritual progress. So Paul encourages the Christians in Colossae to continue to progress in their faith and in their growth in Christ. And he reminds them of four things they need to do to continue to live in Christ. And these are lessons that you and I can apply to our lives as well. First, he says, stay rooted. Now, this is an agricultural term, so a lot of you farmers, you'll understand what this means. It means to be firm. It means to be fixed. It means to be established. It's like a healthy tree whose roots grow deep into the ground so that it can survive during the harshest of droughts. Think about the droughts that come up on your life. If your roots are planted deep in Christ, you can survive those very harsh droughts in your life. Think about when the winds of life, the storms of life come. You know, an oak tree that's got its roots firmly established that are rooted. They can bend with the wind. They're strong enough to bend. That's the way we have to be in our Christian walk. We have to be strong enough to bend when the winds of life come blowing up on us. Built up. This is an architectural term. This word means to build on something, to build further. It occurs in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, for building on the foundation that's already laid. And another use is in Ephesians 2, 20. Believers are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The faith you have today is not because of you, it's because of the men and women who were before you. And you build on top of that, the apostles and the prophets. Here Paul is saying, finish the structure on the foundation already laid. Don't get distracted by the false teachers. He's encouraging them to constantly increase in their knowledge of Christ and in life conform to Christ. How? Through the faith they began with. It comes back to that faith. Then Paul uses an athletic term. He uses the term strengthened. Actually, it's not an athletic term. I'm sorry. It's a legal term. It's a legal term in the Greek language. It's the word confirm. It's the word establish. It's a legal guarantee. That's what it is. It's the word of God that builds, and the word is what we build on. That's what gives us the strength. But the false teachers, They were undermining the doctrine of the Word. Today, Christians who study the Word, they become established, they become strengthened in their faith. And Satan has a difficult time deceiving those who are Bible-taught believers. Why? Because they can identify the enemy. We know the reality, so when we see a counterfeit, we can identify it. And then Paul, he ends with the promise of what it looks like to live in Christ by saying, you'll be overflowing with thankfulness. And this means that you'll abound. You'll have an abundance. It's exceeding. It's increasing. Paul is saying, when you realize that you have been received in Christ, your level of gratitude skyrockets, goes through the roof. It's like a river whose banks are overflowing, can't be contained. Remember a couple of years ago when we had the flood? If you tried to go over it's in Iowa. Burlington, thanks. I wanted the B when the Burlington. If you tried to go over to Burlington, you couldn't get there because the river had come out of its banks and crept all the way into Illinois, and here it was, a mile or so inland. This is the way that we're supposed to be. When we understand what Christ has done, that we've been received in Him. Let me just ask you, does this describe your life? Do people look at you and say, yeah, you're a person that is overflowing with thankfulness? We can see that in your life. Does this describe who we are? He's saying as our growth in Christ progresses, we will understand more and more just exactly what Christ sacrificed for us and what His sacrifice truly means for us as an individual and for those who do not yet know Him, which then causes us to want to share the gospel. We have to progress in our faith of Him. And we make progress in our faith by continuing to do what we said last week, to drink that pure spiritual milk that we talked about. Next thing is our growth in Jesus, it prepares us for spiritual warfare in verse 8. Verse 8 is all about spiritual warfare. Satan loves to attack the mind of Christians through hollow and deceptive philosophies. And this is why it's important, it's paramount, that as Christians, we have a strong and solid biblical worldview. What was happening in the day of Paul, and is still going on today, is that those who were taken captive by false teachings, they were ignorant of God's word. They were ignorant of the truths that were found in God's word. So they became fascinated by the philosophy and empty delusions of the false teachers that were around them. And the reason I believe this happened and continues to happen today is because we don't resist the devil. We really don't. And very practically, what that means is that we have to know God's word so that we can identify the enemy when he comes to attack. We have to recognize that whenever I've been put out by someone and that bitterness starts to well up in me and I feel like I'm justified for being bitter towards someone, that's the enemy attacking me. And I have to say, get away from me, Satan. You have no right to do this. The Holy Spirit of God lives here. And I know you're trying to attack. You're trying to root out. You're trying to build on top of, you're trying to destroy this. I know, Satan, you're trying to get in here and create bitterness in me. I'm not going to let you do it. That's what it is to continue to make progress in our relationship with Christ is when we realize, identify the enemy and how he's attacking. When my pride starts to get in my way, I can identify it and say, okay, Satan, you need to get out of here. Because pride does not come from Christ. If I struggle with pride, it's because Satan is trying to get a foothold in my life. If I'm angry, again, if I sin in my anger, again, that's Satan. That's the enemy attacking. There's all kinds of things. Hey, when I sit down at that computer, I may have all the greatest intentions in the world, but I slip off into other little places. And as I'm typing in those web addresses, going to those porn sites I know I shouldn't be going to, you know what? I'm sitting there making a conscious decision to say, that's all right, I'll just go anyway. That's the enemy, man. He's chiding at us. Come on, nobody's going to know. God's not really watching every move. God's not really concerned about the purity of heart and mind. Slip on off to go do your thing. You're okay. when I'm engaged in that relationship with that young gal and things get heated, and I know where the limits are, but we say, we're not going to pay attention to this. We're going to keep on going. Or when I go out to eat and I'm at the buffet and I go back more and more than I know I should, I'm destroying God's temple. Or whenever I hear the lowest and juiciest secrets and I start sharing those with everybody, that's gossip. There's no room for that. That's all from the enemy. And we have to resist that. And the best way to resist that is to identify who he is, to know God's word. James said it this way in James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. He said, submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil. And you know what? When you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Come near to God, and God will draw near to you. Here at MACC, we want to equip everyone. We want to equip everyone, no matter what age, to resist the devil, while at the same time, we want to encourage everyone here to draw near to God. Like I said, we want to encourage every age group. So I've asked Jason if he'd come this morning and share with you why we want to see even the youngest in our congregation continue to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ.
As I was thinking about what Donnie was sharing about being prepared for spiritual warfare, this image of being prepared jumped into my head. You know the movie The Christmas Story? When the youngest brother goes to get ready for school, and he puts on his coat, and it's crazy full, and he can't get his arms down? No, you don't. Okay, well, take my word, it's a funny movie. But he can't get his arms down, he's got this huge coat on, he's ready to go out in the cold. And as funny as that part in the movie is, it wouldn't have made any sense for that mom to send their kid out without a coat on, without layers on, to stay warm. If we're not preparing our kids for what they're going to experience in the world, we're not preparing them for spiritual warfare. Now, I don't always get a chance to share with you about the children's ministry from up here, so I really thought about, how do I do this? How do I ask people, help us prepare our kids for what they're going to encounter? And the biggest temptation I had was to say, it's so easy. You know, you don't have to put a whole lot of work into it. And that pull is strong. But instead of telling you about how easy it is, I want to share with you how important it is for us to prepare our kids. Let's watch this quick movie clip here.
How important is children's ministry? Well, more than half of people who will ever believe in Christ will do so by the age of 12. And by the time a child is 9, their basic moral foundation has already been formed. By age 13, a person has formed their first basic beliefs about the nature of God, the reliability of the Bible, the existence of an afterlife, and the everlasting love of Jesus Christ. Through children's ministry, we have a chance to engage the hearts of these children when they are most open to the gospel. We are able to step into their lives through all the gifts like teaching, serving, administration, and evangelism. You could get a chance to share the gospel with a child for the first time in his or her life, or help them form their first thoughts of who God is. Please know, we don't want this to be an obligation. We want this to be a pleasure. We want you to volunteer because you want to help your church raise its children as you raise your own. By helping us in children's ministry in any capacity, you help them see that Jesus is real.
You may have seen the couple posters I have posted up with different statistics. I really want to highlight those just to give you a clear picture of some of what they said in this clip, and then also some of how it's playing out in our church. And I don't mean to share some of these to be a guilt trip or anything. I just want to give you the clearest picture possible of where we are and where we could go. On this first slide here, and that's really small, so in case you can't see it, I'm going to read it for you. Children's ministry here has an eternal importance. More than 50% of people who accept Jesus Christ do so by the age of 12. Now, that doesn't mean 50% of people accept Christ. 50% of people who do accept Christ do so by the age of 12. American children ages 5 to 13 have a 32% probability of accepting Christ. And in our ministry here at MACC, we want to see a higher percentage than that. It should be much higher, especially for people that have been connected with us here. This last one's staggering. Less than 6% of all people accept Jesus Christ after 12. If we wait until later, we've missed a huge opportunity. How's that playing out here at MACC? Well, on this next slide, you'll see less than 15 people are doing the work of 40 children's ministry roles on some Sundays at MACC. And I'll be honest, I skewed that to make it sound as strong a statistic as possible. That's like a week where somebody's sick or we've got a big snowstorm, people can't get in. But it's not that far off. We have 40 different ways people can minister on one particular Sunday, and we do have around 15 to 20 people doing that each week. We need more help. 80 volunteers throughout the year are needed for an optimal rotation on a typical Sunday. And currently we have less than 30 people filling those roles. So a lot of people are doing 2, 3, 4 roles. We need more people helping. And then over 200 different volunteer roles are available each year to reach kids for Jesus Christ. Now that means all kinds of things. That's 1 week commitments. That's 1 day commitments. That's VBS. That's hang time. That's Kingdom Kids. There's so many different ways you can serve with kids to have a lasting impact. And on our last slide, we'll see the lasting difference. By age 9, a child's basic moral foundation has been formed. 4 out of 5 church leaders grew up in the church. Now, not all church leaders grew up in the church, but if we're going to raise up the next generation of leaders, the majority of what we're doing is here in the church. And then 80% of children in the U.S. never go to church. Beyond just volunteering here, I need you talking about it to kids that you know. Hey, have you heard about what we do on Sundays? Have you heard about what we do after school? The connections you have, I don't have. Again, what I want to share is that I don't want to say it's completely easy. Some weeks it's really, really hard. But you know what? God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And that call isn't special that you need to hear something auditory in your ear, except I am speaking right now and you can hear me. When we're called to follow Jesus Christ, when we become Christians, that is our call into ministry. Whatever contact point you have, whatever skills you have, whatever skills God can develop in you, He has called you to use those in His service. And trust me, we could use those in the children's ministry. Thank you.
Thanks, Jason. Guys, could you imagine what it would be like if we had men, and I'm especially talking to men right now, if we had men investing in the lives of our children? And the reason I say that is because, honestly, research has shown over and over and over and over that the role of men in the lives of children has a huge impact. I can tell you, as a child who grew up without a father involved in my life, it's huge. Now, could you imagine what this church will look like as more and more children come to know Christ? And we have a responsibility, an obligation to invest in their lives. All of us have that obligation. So find a way in which you can help grow up our children and their relationship with Christ. Now, we've said that our growth in Jesus begins with personal encounter. And we said that as we grow in Jesus, our faith, it progresses. We've said that our growth in Jesus prepares us for spiritual warfare. Now I want to share with you a great promise as we're wrapping this up. As we continue to grow in our faith in Jesus, our faith, as we continue to grow in Him, our faith is being made perfect as we grow in Jesus. The word fullness in the Greek language means completely, means totally. So do you hear it? Our faith is being made perfect in Jesus, being made absolute, complete, total in Him. Only in Christ can we be made complete and have fullness. As believers, we've been given fullness in Christ. And our fullness of life comes from Christ's fullness, which is in us. We're being perfected as we partake of Christ's divine nature. Now, this, of course, doesn't mean that believers become God, but simply that we share in Him. We share in the goodness of the nature which He is. We share in the body of Him who is the head over every power and every authority, including those who would talk the Colossians and talk you as a Christian today into living according to the world instead of living according to the Word. Apart from Jesus, there's emptiness. Philosopher John Paul Sartre put it this way. He said, life is an empty bubble on the sea of nothingness. What an outlook. You ever met people like that? They seem to live as though life is an empty bubble on the sea of nothingness. They waste so much of their time. They're not investing in others. They're not investing in themselves. But there's a lot of Christians who struggle at this point in their faith and in their growth in Jesus. They struggle believing that the fullness of Christ dwells within them. And what happens is they end up living defeated lives. They buy into the lies of Satan instead of believing in the promises of God. You are a child of God. God is absolutely 100% head over heels in love with you. Whether you've accepted Him or not, He's in love with you. And His desire is for you to accept Him, to become His child. And when you become His child, you take on a brand new identity. You're now a prince or a princess in the kingdom of God because your Father is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's something you can get excited about. That's okay. You can overflow with thankfulness over that. It's okay to express joy in a church service. Or wake up. Chip Ingram, in his book, God, as He Longs for You to See Him, he put it this way. He said, what you think about God shapes your whole relationship with Him. In addition, what you believe about what God thinks about you determines how close you will grow toward Him. So, how close do you want to grow toward God? Christians are commanded to continue to grow in Jesus. As a church, we want to provide you with electives, kids connection, altered youth, right now media, precepts, Bible study, men's group. We want to do what we can. But the question is this, how close do you want to grow toward God?